The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. Today, we're looking and talking about Football Club Isle of Man, FC Isle of Man, the Ravens. Quite where they are, where they're aiming to get to, and what you think is next for the Ravens. Well, if you're a fan, if you turn up to the bowl, maybe if you're one of those hardy crew that go to away matches, then by all means, do get in touch. Of course, we've got the chair of FC Isle of Man, David Pope, is with us, and chief exec, Russ Kane, is here. So, hello, David.
Hi, Eddie.
Good to see you. And Russ as well. Russ, have you been involved since the very beginning, haven't you, Russ?
Not quite, Andy. No. I got involved in sort of December 22, okay, when I was asked to look at some of the finances after first season, okay, and then was appointed to the board on September 23, and I've been there since, so we're just about to start entering our sixth season now. Okay.
And David, how did you get involved with FC Isle of Man?
That's a very good question, Andy. I just got asked to come along as a consequence of an advert going out by Lawrence, who's one of the directors, for volunteers to help, and I only went down for half an hour. I seem to have been there for 6 months now. But so that was the case when I met with Russ and Lawrence, and they were looking for help on the board. And obviously, I'm here now as the chairman, appointed in the last month.
Okay. So what was your first impression when you went to the Ravens, when you went to FC Isle of Man? What were you expecting there?
I don't know what I was expecting, because I knew Jill quite well. I worked with Jill quite a bit.
Jill Christian,
yes. Yeah. And so I knew that she was struggling for time, really, because of her own business and her family. And so she really wanted some help. So it was good to meet with the guys and then get down there and realise that there was a lot of good ideas, but not enough doers. And that was, I think, the initial reaction, really, of the fact that there's so many people who wanted the prospect and the idea to succeed, and there wasn't a lot of people doing things. There was a lot of people who could help, but probably the fact that I'm retired now meant that I could help a lot more than others could, because most people are working and doing this in their spare time.
Yeah.
So it was a great idea to try and be there, to be truthful.
And Russ, it's probably, I mean, lots of people have a misconception about FC Isle of Man that there's millions of pounds floating around and people are getting fat salaries.
I wish, Andy. That would be the ideal scenario, but no, of course. Everyone associated with the club is a volunteer. There's only one person that we actually pay, and he's our sort of a football development officer who goes around the schools and provides some community service going round to it's sponsored by Shaw very, very kindly. They fulfill his salary. So it costs nearly £400,000 to run the Ravens, and that obviously is met up with sponsors, match day tickets, and we do have a kind visitor underwrite from Visit, the government agency body, in recognition of the fact that we do bring away supporters here. But I have to say that the finances are one of the most challenging aspects of the run in the club.
And again, this is something that, and obviously there are people in the club who believe in the club, but has the club been able to support itself financially for the new season? Do you get anything from the league at all? Do you get anything from the league that you're in?
No, we don't actually get anything from the league.
Okay, it's worth putting this into perspective, of course. You're in the ninth tier.
That's correct, yeah.
The ninth tier. Okay. So if we take it from the top, you've got the Premier League, the Championship, Division 1, Division 2, the National League, National League North and South, the Northern Premier, Southern Premier, Isthmian, and what have you. Then there are eight leagues under that, and you're in the eight leagues underneath that. So that's level nine.
Yes, that's right. We're ninth step.
Yeah. Okay, but there has been a promotion since the start, hasn't there?
Yeah, that's right. We started in the 10th tier. That was the only one that where we were accepted into the Northwest Counties, and it was basically off the back of the Jersey and Guernsey were the sort of forerunners of entering into the English league system. Mm. And so, you know, the agreement that they had was almost sort of copied over, and then we were accepted into the Northwest Counties 10th step. And then, yeah, everyone knows about the success of the first season. It was, it was before I was involved, so I'd be hopefully looking to find that success again.
But I just want to hammer down this question of finances, because FC Alamein has to pay for visiting clubs to come here and stay here, is that right?
Yeah, that's a condition of the agreement of entering into
the league. So you have to fund their players and officials coming to the Isle of Man and put them up as well.
Yes.
And then send them back. So that's part of which, I mean, that's a fortune. When's that obligation going to lapse?
I don't think it will. The thing is, we operate under an agreement with the Northwest Counties League, and the other clubs, although they do pay their players in our league, you know, they don't have the sort of financial resources that even we do. Mm. So we wouldn't be accepted into that league if we didn't make that commitment.
Right.
And again, that's the same commitment that Jersey and Guernsey make. They also pay for the away teams to come to their islands. Yes, we put them up. We have to transport them on the island, and then, transport them to and from the island as well.
Was there a possibility, Russ, that if we got promoted, that commitment would move away, or is it Jersey and Guernsey still have to pay that, don't they?
The Jersey and Guernsey, as far as I'm aware, still have to pay that, and there is a bit of a misconception out there that if we do get promoted once or twice, then that commitment might lapse. But as far as I'm concerned, it would be another negotiation to enter into the league above that we have. So if we're fortunate enough to get promoted to Step 8, which is I think is the Northern Premier League West, it would be. We'd have to negotiate an agreement with that league,
right?
And I can't really see them saying, "Oh, well, you paid for all the teams in Step 9. Why aren't you going to pay for the teams in Step 8?"
Do they understand what a burden it is to FC Isle of Man?
No, I don't think they do. I don't think anyone does, actually, outside of Russell, and the way that Russell and his team are dealing with this is one of the things that I've picked up on straight away. The organisation of it alone would be a full-time team of working people, whereas we're all volunteers.
Yeah.
And then never mind the cost of 23 people, which we have to bring across, and the fact that we have requested from the league to reduce that, but they've been a little bit flexible in other rules, which I can't quite remember off the top of my head at the moment, but they have, it means 23 people we have to bring across every time and pay for, which has benefits for the Isle of Man, of course, but for us it makes it quite difficult when we're looking at raising the finances at the start of the year, and the travel bill's quite substantial.
David, I mean, lots of people absolutely love the Ravens. It's the nearest thing we get to a big football match on the Isle of Man on a regular basis. So in terms of what they call in the industry the product, what do you think of the product?
I think the product's fantastic. I mean, I can't think that any good town in the UK or city in the UK succeeds without a thriving football club, and the prospect of having a community hub, entertainment hub, and football attached to that, with the priority of producing Manx players and allowing them to play at the highest level, is got to be something that we seek to achieve, because I think right across the board it's good for the Isle of Man, and that just is something that I long term, I think we want to make this a sustainable community hub, which still provides that priority of players playing at the highest level they can, their abilities will take them to.
Okay, we've got a message in from Mark the Engineer. Russ, you'll like this. My brother and I are season ticket holders. Great to see local youngsters improving, playing strong opposition from across. And that's Mark the Engineer. So where do local players sit in this whole organisation? Some play for still Manx teams as well as playing for the Ravens. How does it work?
Yeah, they have a dual sort of registration with the Isle of Man FA. Each player is registered to a local side, or can be registered to a local side, but also they can be registered with FC Isle of Man, because we play in a different league. I mean, the relationship that we have with the Isle of Man Football Association is that we are an associate member of the Isle of Man Football Association, and we do work very closely with the Isle of Man Football Association. But that agreement that we have to be a member, an associate member, means that FC Isle of Man cannot enter into any of the local leagues, and of necessity it might not want to. But that's the relationship that we have with the Isle of Man.
How does the FA feel about, and how do the clubs feel about FC Isle of Man? Is there any accusations of cherry picking?
Perhaps there has been in the past, but what we would be looking to do is work with the clubs. I mean, I know that when Paul Jones initially had the idea 7-8 years ago and went round, and he discussed how it would operate with all of the local clubs. And you know, as time has gone on and time has evolved, I think there's sort of hopefully there's a mutual respect and understanding. I mean, what we you know, we're not in competition with any of the clubs. We're just trying to provide the best opportunities that we can for the players to play at the highest level that they can. I think that's really important, you know, that clearly we're aware that you know, there has been historically some teams local clubs are not supportive of us, but we're trying to break down those barriers by taking the Ravens and around the island. It's so, for instance, to the festival of football that we've got this coming weekend,
right.
We're very excited about that. We're bringing League 2 Shrewsbury Town over. We're bringing Bury FC over and Ratcliffe FC. So, I mean, Shrewsbury being in League 2 is really good. There was some doubts about the availability of the bowl. So when we were organising and setting up the tournament, we reached out to the other clubs and said, well, Ramsey, can you host it for us? And the guys at Ramsey have worked superbly hard, the ground staff and everything, to get their ground ready to be as good a standard as possible for what we hope will be an excellent celebration of football this weekend.
Okay. And what's on this weekend? Where are the matches? Who's playing who?
So, what we have on Friday, we have at it's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Shrewsbury Town will be playing Ratcliffe, and then in the evening.
This is at Ballaclone, is it?
This is at Ballaclone Stadium, yeah. And at 7:30, and we'd really encourage all of the sort of local supporters to get up to Ramsey and support us, especially in this amazing weather. 7:30, it's Bury versus the FC Isle of Man. So it'd be a chance to see the new kit and the Ravens in a different scenario to normal. And we, it does take, there's a lot of risk in putting on a tournament like this. You know, there's clearly costs involved. We really feel that I need to mention our sponsors for this, FRP, which is a sort of insolvency advisory firm, and the Isle of Man Steam Packet, who have supported the travel of the away sides coming over to the Isle of Man, are our two sort of principal main sponsors for this. And, without their support, I think, we wouldn't be able to put this tournament on. And then on Sunday, so there's a break day on Saturday, and then on Sunday it'll be Shrewsbury Town that will be playing in the morning at 11 o'clock kickoff. Again, all these matches are at Ballaclone, and then whether or not that'll be the final or not depends if Shrewsbury win their first game, but they will be playing the winners of Bury or FC Isle of Man, and then on Sundays, the 3 o'clock kickoff will be the next game, which will be Ratcliffe Town versus Bury or FC Isle of Man.
Well, just coming back to the players and sourcing local players, what would be the ideal thing? Do you want local players to get involved with FC Isle of Man, obviously sharpen their skills, and obviously playing in the Northwest, there are scouts here, there and everywhere around the Northwest, aren't there? Somebody could get picked up for a professional team.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, the opportunities are always there for people to take their skills to the next level, and Lee is passionate beyond belief in relation to the development of his players and development of his football, liked by the players, liked by the management, and has brought extra energy to the training. And the opportunity to play at level and be seen across is substantially greater when you're actually playing across. I think it's probably as simple as that. The difficulty we have is we've got 18 games away and everybody, one of the players is a volunteer. And it's them actually facing a little bit of burnout and getting away from work, which is one of the most difficult things to cover. And that's one of Lee's tasks to do that. And hopefully we can help him with the ideas of the commitment of the players and having a large squad have a very, very strong home team and whoever can be available away. But he's trying to think that pattern through at the moment as to how he can best do that to try and reduce that pressure on people away.
And obviously, as you say, most of the players have got jobs. They've all got jobs and they've got to juggle that with playing away. And sometimes, you know, over 2 days going away. It says something about the enthusiasm of the players.
The commitment is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic, and that's why, again, you go back to one of your questions before, Andy, of as to the purpose of it. Well, just look at the commitment of the players, of the volunteers. I went to meet the 12th man on Monday night. They had their AGM, which is one of the Raven supporters groups, and they fundraise for the club every year. What a superb group of people they are. You know, the effort they put in, they go to all the away trips, the players that they follow, the sponsor. If you could just see that and how much it produces in a community hub, that was absolutely fantastic to see and very enjoyable. I think my head was a little bit worse for wear on Tuesday morning, but other than that, it was a great night.
Okay, well, you mentioned Lee Dixon, you mentioned Lee, and obviously everybody knows Dicko, Mr. Enthusiasm, and of course he took over from Rick Holden, who held the fort. You mentioned Paul Jones, who was the instrumental in setting all this up. So, what are you expecting of Lee and the players this coming season, Russ?
Well, I'm expecting them to have a good, very good commitment, and I'm expecting that Lee will bring a different management style than Rick and possibly Paul did. We're very excited to see that, how that will work. I think he will introduce. You know, Lee has an enormous knowledge of local football, and the players that are available, and he also has loads of contacts within the sort of professional clubs within the Northwest.
Lee was a pro, wasn't he?
I believe so. Yeah. So he has an enormous contact, enormous contact book, and he has a deep understanding and knowledge of Manx football. I'm very hopeful that he will be able to sort of break down some of these barriers between some of the other clubs that players might say. You can never sort of force a player to play for FC Isle of Man. We would like to hope that they would like to test themselves at the highest level that they can, but for whatever reason, some people may not be able to do that, or don't want to commit, or don't like the idea of FC Isle of Man. But we're hopeful that Lee and still Rick, who we are hoping that we'll stay involved with the club in the background, that can start to break down some of these barriers. And right. So any player that really wants to play for FC Isle of Man and has the skill to make it, and in Lee's opinion, is good enough to play, then we'd hope that they'd consider getting involved. But as David said there, the commitment that it takes from the players is just it's phenomenal. You can't begin to express how much commitment that it takes to go to, well, especially in pre-season. You have training on Monday, on Tuesday nights, then they have these games on the Saturday, and then there's some training on Friday. So to do this commitment without being without remuneration is exceptional.
David?
I don't think if we're 1-0 up, he'll put two defenders on.
don't talk about that last night. Russ, it was a bit of a reality check last year. Obviously, the focus became avoiding relegation, which was obviously easily accomplished in the end. The team managed that. But what are the expectations now on the pitch for the upcoming new season? Because obviously, success breeds success. Reality, sometimes bites. And what would you like to see?
Well, that's the absolute reality of any football club. I think it's very much results driven, because obviously if you're successful on the pitch, then it attracts more attention, attracts more sponsors, attracts more crowd, and that is it. And I think realistically, we'd be hopeful of trying to push for a promotion spot playoff. So top four or top five, top six, something like that. I mean, that has to be our ambition. Is, you know, any football team is to do as well as they can and to be promoted up through the pyramid. But the Northwest Counties League is at our level. It is definitely one of the hardest hardest levels to go in at because of the competitiveness of the teams in the North, in the Northwest.
That's worth stating that there are lots of teams in that division with ex-pros in, people on the way down, if you like. And who was the World Cup player who played in one match?
Oh, it was Pascal Chimbondo. Yeah. He came over for it was quite incredible to see him at the bowl at age 40. He was the manager as well. I think he actually got sin-binned in the match as well.
Who was he playing for?
That was Skelmersdale. Skelmersdale United, I think it was. But It was.
I remember standing watching, and there's Pascal Chimbondo. He put on a bit of timber, but he could turn a pass, couldn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it was incredible to me to see a former World Cup winner playing at the bowl.
So it's worth saying that playing in this league, you will get spotted, and as you say, some players across, they are paid, they do get money, and lots of players are coming down from professional sides to spend a few months with one of those clubs just to be in the swim. So, and again, I can't... It's interesting. Oh, well, let's get to some questions. We've got tons of questions, first of all. Paul says, FC Alaman have been talking about an alcohol licence since their first season in the NWCFL. Why have you failed to get an alcohol licence, Russ Kent?
Yes, we have been talking about that since the first season, and it is also almost a standing joke between ourselves and the management and the supporters, because at every supporters meeting we're asked about it. The realities of getting a licence are twofold, really. The one is that we don't own the bowl, clearly, and the bowl is
Is owned by the government.
The bowl is owned by the government. Yeah, the department DESC. It's owned by, and to actually try and convince them to license the whole bowl is probably out of the question. But we have sort of been trying to develop some plans for a fan zone since last September time, but you can imagine when a government's involved, there are procedures, processes and agreements to be made, and all these things take a lot of time. So David has actually trying to been explore perhaps another option there, but it is exceptionally difficult when the club doesn't own its own ground,
because it's fair to say when you go to away matches, they've all got pubs, they've all got bars in their facilities.
Correct, but we have to recognise that the licensing laws in the UK are slightly different to those on the island, and so the island ones are we're finding it slightly more challenging, because it is a constant frustration of the away fans that come over that they actually can't just have a drink whilst watching the game, because at every ground that they go to across, they can do that, and actually that is a real source of revenue for some of these clubs. It really boosts their revenues, and unfortunately, despite best efforts of a number of previous directors and now ourselves, it's the process and actually the cost of trying to apply for the license and do all of the appropriate risk assessments and then finding out having the facilities to do it and then the volunteers to run the facility. Right. It's not as straightforward as people think, unfortunately.
Okay. David Pope.
There is a number of options that we're looking at. So it would be amiss of me to describe them here, but we are trying to progress that as soon as possible, because eventually I think we have to try and achieve some sustainability to survive. And to do that, we need to make sure that we're a community hub. We're not just, albeit we've got our priority, of course, making sure that we can take those players to the highest level possible and get them seen. The priority is more than football. We need to have families, volunteers, local businesses producing Manx products, whatever our ground is, and that's what our vision is, really, to provide that. And I think alcohol allows people to come and have a long, pleasurable afternoon with us. For example, I think it would we've got a license at Ramsey, haven't we, this weekend, so people can have a drink at Ramsey. I think it'll be a really enjoyable evening, especially in the nice weather, or afternoon on Sunday. So as many people would like to come as possible, it'd be great. And Ramsey will love us for that, because they've put a lot of effort into it. But that will just show a hope that people could enjoy the football, especially seeing the talent are online. But
okay. And this one is in from Texter 980, who just says, the DOE, DFE, Department for Enterprise, is Visit Isle of Man that underwrites certain things. Can you tell us what the relationship is between you and Visit Isle of Man? Do they pay for the bowl? What happens? Or do you have to hire the bowl?
We hire the bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We hire the bowl, and we hire the FA buildings, and then we pay for St John's Ambulance. So just to give people a broad indication, it costs us about, this is before gate receipts, but it costs us around £7,500 to host a home game.
Does that include travel?
Does
that include the travel?
Yeah, that includes the travel of the away teams, yeah, of course. The relationship that we have with Visit, they have what's called a TED scheme, which is a tourist economic development scheme. And that is for, anyone can apply to this if they're putting on events on the island. And we, every year, we apply to them to Visit in recognition of the fact that, you know, we bring across to the island. Well, actually, we ourselves, as a consequence of the league agreement, pay for 660 people to come over to the island, or yeah, when it was a 23-team league anyway. We also have to actually pay for the referees to come over to referee the games, because they obviously have to be not local referees, and they have to be sort of appropriately qualified. So we put the application in to Tesna every in recognition of the fact that we are bringing tourists to the Isle of Man outside of the normal tourist season. I think if you you speak to some of the pubs and some of the hotels that are hosting the fans that come during the away during this sort of winter season, they will be very supportive of us, because
it's fair to say, I mean, you do bring a lot of, I mean, some bring a few supporters, some bring hundreds, some bring thousands. Bury used to bring tons and tons, didn't they, they came over?
I think the whole of Everton came, didn't it? Yeah. It was 120 people, I think. It's nearly the whole of Everton, if you know Everton. But I think there was 120 people from them, 250 people came from Wavenshaw, and this is in the middle of winter.
And so multiply that across all the away teams, you are bringing, and obviously Visit Isle of Man will be looking at this and calculating this. So, right, let's get to the phones anyway. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard, you're live with FC Isle of Man.
Hello, Andy. Hello to your guests. I'm not sure how the system works, but there's a football fraternity. Let's start beginning. Our great-granddaughter, she took up jiu-jitsu. She loved it, but then grew away from it. And the same when she went down with Dot down at the NSC for the cycling. But she loved her football anyway. And she was spotted one day, and they said, "What team do you play for?" She said, I don't. And she was introduced. Now, I don't know what the situation is between yourself and Douglas and District, but she goes down every week now, maybe twice a week, and it's training and football, and she's only 9 years of age, and she loves every minute of it, which is a good thing, because she's growing up through now utilising the facilities here on the island, plus she's getting exercise and the ability to make friends. And, you know, it's just one of these things that settled in on her, and she was quite happy with it. And she's just, what, a fortnight this weekend, she was away with a group from the Isle of Man, and they were playing against different teams, just the way the adult ones come to the Isle of Man. And she and a whole lot of other children, different age groups, went away. What is the possibilities of a similar situation of the male, of the children coming over, because at the moment, the steam packet up to the age of 16, now I don't know what it is if they got groups like that, but the children can travel free, and it's the adults is coming over as escorts who would be paying the fare.
Okay, Russ Kent.
Yeah, hi Howard. No, that's a very, very good question. Thank you. We have actually had a series of friendly games. We have taken some under 13s team across for a series of friendly games for the last 7 weeks. I think the last fixture is this Saturday actually, and they have they've gone across and they've represented the island. They've represented the island fantastically. They've had all of their kits have been. We've had some kind sponsors of Thomas Miller, and then Freight Hub have sponsored some equipment for them. And yes, we have to say a fantastic thanks to all of the coaches that are all appropriately qualified, and all the appropriate insurance and safeguarding regulations are absolutely in place with all of the best practice. And they have taken these under-13s teams across for friendlies during the course of the summer. So, that was a sort of a test or pilot scheme, and we're still waiting for a sort of it to conclude so we can have a debrief on it. But clearly, yeah, we would be looking to expand that across a number of different age ranges.
What difference has it made to your granddaughter, Howard?
Oh, she loves it. She's out playing football. In fact, I was there. I blew up 10 footballs for her yesterday. The ones that she'd been kicking around and playing around. And, you can smile at this. Her dad, he put a bet on with her and said, if you score so many goals, I'll give you so much. She scored, when she was away, she scored 7 goals, so it cost her father a small fortune.
That'll teach him.
Which she spent wisely. She went down and bought herself some new football boots. Because, you know yourself, they're different boots to play on AstroTurf as it is on ordinary turf. So not only are they going through one pair of boots, as they're playing on different pitches, they're going through 2 pair of boots. Which, when you're growing up like she is, it's a costly experience. But to her, to go down and she's got new friends, and they're playing every week. And even the schools do this. They have. I've been down there to the bowl under the NSC, and there's been over 200 children down there all playing football and thoroughly enjoying themselves.
Right. Okay. All right. Howard, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today, and all the very best to your granddaughter. Ruskin, you mentioned about the football development officer going into schools. And, of course, at half-time, Raymond, the Raven, faces penalties from youth teams as well. So I just want to know what FC Isle of Man's commitment is to youth football on the Isle of Man.
Yeah, as I said there, this what we would be looking to do was expand our youth offering. We, as part of our community engagement, what we do is we invite all of the junior sides and various different age groups, as you say, down to the bowl during the halftime, to take penalties against the mascot. And that, of course, we give these tickets away for free to the guys to come so that they can experience sort of, taking those penalties in front of, a bit of a crowd. And it's not just, the local other football clubs that we look to support as part of our community sort of outreach. We have, we're hoping that on the 18th of August against Ramsbottom at home, we'll have Manx Gymnastics doing a half-time display. So we look to support also. We've also had a fusion dance troupe down to do displays in front of a crowd. I mean, and one of my actually my proudest or most happy games last season was when we brought the Special Olympics squad down to take the penalties against Raymond.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
these guys were just the best guys to come and take the penalties. And I tell you what, they could teach our the first team a thing or two. Every single one of them they scored, and they just loved it. They were a pleasure to host, and you know, I got a lot out of that, and so did I think the guys that came down. So yeah, we are looking to make that a regular thing. Whereby they come every season.
I think we're getting the picture, David, that FC Alaman is part of something bigger, and it's not just a football club. There's stuff that goes on all the way around it.
Well, correct. I mean, I was just about to say, to add to what Russ was talking about there in relation to summer camps, for example, and those summer camps are available for everybody to take advantage of, which I hope people will do so. And what we trying to do, and I think it's probably just a time thing in the past that it hasn't been done, is I want to try and work with the FA, with local clubs, with grassroots clubs, with schools, and try and provide and enhance football right across the board. And where we can fit into that with the FA, I've got to go and talk to Lewis and discuss that over. I actually produced some slides to go and talk with Lewis. Just been moving this week, so I've not been able to get them to him. But once we've done that, maybe we could have some more news on that and how we're going to work together. But I think that will be really, really important, because us working together with the FA and local clubs is just something that's going to makes football stronger overall, I believe.
Okay. Let's get to Ken's with us now. Hello, Ken. You're live with FC Alaman.
Afternoon. I was wondering, apart from the perceived financial savings, the restructuring of the league to less teams, if the Ravens had any input into that restructuring, and which teams have actually left without getting promoted or relegated.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's a smaller league now, isn't it, Russ?
Yeah, that's correct. We did make some representations to the league about the unsustainability of a 24-team league, which meant that there was 46 games a season, which, if you actually counted the a number of Saturdays in the prescribed season, which is from the sort of end of July to the sort of middle of April, that all the fixtures have to be done, there was only sort of 35 Saturdays weekends. So, we did make some strong representations to the league about in this respect, that and a lot of the other clubs do. And so David and I sort of attended the Northwest Counties League annual general meeting end of June or something, and when they announced to us that we were down to 20 teams in the league, they'd restructured. We were very happy about that, because that has a big financial impact on us. Plus, right. Meaning that we don't have to travel away so often on.
Well, there were some times when you had Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday games, which for people who are amateurs and they've got jobs, was unsustainable.
Yes, absolutely.
Who dropped down?
Well, West Disbury and Chorlton have been moved to a different league.
But someone actually had financial issues, didn't they? Because it's not only us that has the financial problems in that league.
No, yeah, Pilkington withdrew from the league. Stockport Town withdrew from the league. And I think those two, with those withdrawals and then some sort of lateral movements into the Midland League, somehow the league have restructured it so that there's actually only 20 teams, which is... It's much better for player welfare, even.
Okay. We'd ask them to split it into two, Andy. That's what we've done.
Okay, thanks, Ken.
Thanks, Al.
Cheers now. 18 minutes before 1 o'clock. I got a note in from 114 who said, talking about the standard of the kids' penalties, they're definitely better at shooting than Russ was when he played for Onken. Is that right?
Yeah, that's not too far from the truth, yeah.
Okay. We're live with FC Isle of Man on Man in Line today. Call, text, email, WhatsApp.
For 100 years, Manx Petroleum has been part of island life, fueling journeys, warming homes, supporting businesses. As we look to the future, that commitment remains. We'll continue to embrace smarter solutions to keep the island moving for the next 100 years. Because the road ahead matters just as much as the road behind. Everything we do will be powered with experience and innovation. Manx Petroleum, always here for you.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown, or at Broadway Douglas, or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
One architectural design company has particular expertise in achieving planning approval for a wide variety of projects, from landmark buildings to spectacular homes. Talk to the experts at Ellis Brown and get your project off the ground. For excellence in design, search Ellis Brown.
Remember when you used to get business advice from your bank manager? Stiff upper-lipped pillars of the community whom you called sir? Nowadays, you can get all the advice on every business issue from the friendly, down-to-earth chaps at Crow Isle of Man. And some of the chaps are even women. Imagine! Crow Isle of Man. Global presence, local knowledge.
Crow Isle of Man. 627-335.
Herschel.co.il. The exclusive Kärcher store is open with thousands of products, accessories and parts in stock. For Kärcher sales and service, Hersham Electrical, Shipyard Industrial Estate, Ramsey.
The countdown to the next Isle of Man general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who you think should represent you in the House of Keys. And here at Manx Radio, we've got all the information you need to help you make your choice. We'll be playing out our full interviews with all the candidates each weekday from just before 11:30, and they'll also be available as podcasts shortly after broadcast, and you can watch them on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, for everything you need to know about the upcoming election, you can head to our dedicated website. Just go to manxradio.com to find out more.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
And we're live today with David Pope, who's the chair of FC Isle of Man, and the chief exec, Russ Kent, talking about the Ravens. Will the Isle of Man, this is text 906 for you, David, will the Isle of Man ever produce a Premier League player?
let me get my crystal ball out. Everybody should have that as their objective. Realistically, I've had two sons who've played in academies. One who went very far in an academy, and I can tell you how difficult that is. It's difficult for the parents, difficult for the kids. The chances of success are so small, it's unbelievable. But this is why we play the sport, because that opportunity can be there.
Well, I only mention that because obviously we've got an England rugby player. Used to play on the Isle of Man. Bevan Rod played on the Isle of Man. So scouts for rugby scout on the Isle of Man. They look at players on the rugby players on the Isle of Man. So do you think FC Isle of Man will play any part in that? Is FC Isle of Man a bit of an engine to incubate players to go to something higher?
I think it can be. The rugby success was not just Bevan Rod. Patrice has played for England.
Of course.
Harry Thompson and my son Aaron have both played for Sale and played for Northern England. So the success really came from the person who drove that, I believe. You know, obviously the children have to have the talent. They have to be able to play at that level. But Chris Brannigan was the man who really pushed that forward because of his enthusiasm. So my view would be that if we can provide that additional enthusiasm to the whole football community, then that just gives the platform for the children to push on, and for youth and for young gentlemen to push on, and ladies, one would hope.
But often young men don't know how good they are and don't really know they need to be pointed in a certain direction.
Well, this is where I believe that Lee and Rick sat next to him are going to be vital, because they've got that experience. They've got that football intelligence to spot somebody who's got the determination. Because, as everybody knows, it's not just about talent. You know, it's about that ability, that determination to be a top-class footballer. They're a sort of a unique person.
Okay, David's on now. Hi, David. You're live with FC Isle of Man.
Hi, Andy. Hi, the FC Isle of Man team. And it's not criticism to them. It's criticism to our... When you hire the stadium, and I go there quite regularly, and I listen to FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio in the wintertime when it's cold and it's miserable, and that's a bonus as far as I'm concerned, because people can listen into it of an older age and see what's going on. But the stadium itself is terrible. It's full of rubbish. In between the seats are cracked. This is our national stadium. And I just wondered, and I don't want to be too critical, but I will be, is to say to them, our national stadium needs to be looked after.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that?
Russ Kent?
Yeah, hi David. Yeah, I mean the ground staff, we have a good relationship with the guys who do the maintenance. I think they work for the DOI, and you know, it's also managed by the DESC. So we do have a good relationship with them. And the issue that the FC Isle of Man is that the bowl actually is the only place on the island that we can actually play, because there's strict ground grading regulations that we have to pass for the league. Something about the, you know, and clearly we also have to play on AstroTurf, because we can't afford to fly these guys over and then run the risk of having a waterlogged pitch, or the referee says the pitch is too hard or waterlogged or there's an issue, and then we've flown all the guys over here for nothing. Yes, there are definitely challenges with using the bowl, but it's the only option that we have at the moment, because also you have to have a place that has floodlights because of our, you know, winter kickoffs and the dark weather. So yeah, we are restricted in you know, basically by this ground grading issue, that the bowl is the only place on the island that we can actually play.
Okay.
Yeah, the other criticism I've got too is the concrete, as you come up the steps and walk to where the main entrance is, there is slippy as anything. I've actually reported as a health and safety risk to the Isle of Man government. Older people there, you watch the kids, they walk on the grass on the little edge bit instead of walking on the concrete, because they're sliding all the time.
Okay, Ross?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. I've nearly slipped. I have slipped on it myself several times. So we will bring that up with the sort of the team that manage the bowl, and it maybe you know, to put some grippy strips on the areas. I mean, the issue is that the concrete there was actually polished. It wasn't roughened up, so there isn't actually any grip on it. So when it does get wet, it is quite a hazard.
All right, David, thanks.
And
the
gates don't lock either.
Okay.
Around the pitch.
All right. Thanks for calling today. Anyway, we appreciate that. Alison said, could you ask the boys, if I can pay on the gate for just one game of the tournament, please? Can she pay just on the...
Yeah, absolutely. We've opened that up. You're very welcome to pay just one for individual games at Ramsey.
Okay. Now, you didn't quantify the TED scheme. Does Visit Isle of Man supply the club with any funds?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. The arrangement that we have with that is that they provide an underwrite against loss. So it's not, we try our best through raising funds, through sponsorships, through donations, through, for advertising, sales. There's many, many different sort of ways that we try and raise funds, having events, etc. The mechanics of the scheme is that they provide us with an underwrite against loss, and so you know, obviously if it was up to me personally, I wouldn't want to have to take this underwrite, but there are certain financial realities to operating FC Isle of Man,
right.
and if this scheme is available, and we do have good support from the government from Visit, we have to actually utilise that.
Okay.
It's vital to us at the moment, isn't it? It's vital to what we're doing at the moment. Unless we can get a huge donation from a lovely wealthy man and a woman who lives on the Isle of Man.
Well, this is the important... I was going to come to this, David Pope, and that is finding a magic benefactor. Times are tough in the commercial and industrial world at the moment. Getting sponsorship is difficult, but obviously that would solve everything. If you got either a big fat sponsor or a big personal sponsor, that would free the football club up from, you know, the monthly problems of making ends meet.
Yeah, massively. I don't underestimate the work that our volunteers do at the moment, and or the generosity of our sponsors. It is absolutely amazing, the sponsors that we get, and we have to do quite a lot of work to get that, but it is fantastic the number of sponsors we get, especially the two for this weekend. We mentioned FRP and Steam Packet have been fantastic to us, but one benefactor which would assist us in growing age groups, providing facilities, working with the FA, bringing all those community hub things that I've discussed earlier into play would be great, and just remove that worry, because our job as a board is to try and make sure that at least you've got a straight bat to go and concentrate on football, not be worried about whether or not he can organise the bus to come to Ramsey, because we want him to go and win as many games as possible. So that burden's become clearly on myself and Russell Lawrence and Denzel. So anyone who would prepare to put time in even and help us would be great.
Okay, this is obviously much more than just a football club, Russ Kent. This is obviously fitting into the Manx community and using football. I mean, football's an international language. We just sat through all the torment last night of England playing Argentina, but football brings the world together. It's an international language. So as you see it, Russ Kent, the person in charge of the finances, chief executive, how set fare is FC Allerman? How is it facing the future?
Well, Andy, I think that all of the directors that are involved with the club, they wouldn't be in a position to sort of carry on with FC Allerman if they weren't confident that they could meet their financial commitments for the upcoming season. And yes, it has been, I have to make it clear that every single season it is, we rely on the generosity of the sponsors and we rely on the decisions that are made by Visit Isle of Man to be able to operate. And without those commitments, then, we wouldn't be in a position to be able to carry on, because we wouldn't. The last thing that we want to do is start a season and then halfway through that season we'd have to say, we've run out of money and we can't fulfil our commitments. And the issue.
What's your gut feeling though, Russ, as a football fan? What's your gut feeling about FC Allerman and the Ravens?
Well, I wouldn't have been involved for 3 or 4 years trying my hardest to make it all work and to make it financially sustainable. That is my personal goal, would be to make it financially self-sustaining. And the board, the new board, have put a strategy together to try and do that. But the realities of that's really, it's not impossible to do it, but it's going to be exceptionally difficult. And what we do need, as David said there, we do have an amazing amount of volunteers, and we'd like to put my thanks on record to all of them, but we just need more volunteers.
Okay, thanks to all the volunteers. Just a quick word about the matches this weekend. They're at Ballaclone, and it's Shrewsbury Town versus, who is it?
Ratcliffe,
and FC Allerman taking on
Bury.
Okay, so pitch up to Ballaclone. Now, do you get the tickets online, or can you just pitch up there at Ballaclone?
Yeah, you can buy them online, or you can pitch up there at the gate.
Okay,
so we'd be very happy to see you all.
All right, thanks for being with us today. David, thanks for your attendance today. He's moving house today, so it's all sorts of all sorts of stresses. Thanks to Russ Kent and thanks to David Pope. And remember, the first match is FC St Helens at home on Saturday, the 1st of August. So what do you think about the Ravens? We'll take some more calls and messages on future Man in Lives. Thanks to Alex today.
WINT